Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Great, grab a seat. There are about 16 people on the last jump-in. A number of them weren't able to be here today, but it's great to welcome in people, isn't it? And over the last few weeks, we've seen quite a number of people giving their lives to Jesus and quite a number of people responding, giving their lives back to the Lord and really getting things back on track. And I want to just follow up really from James Galloway brought last week. That was a real liberating word, wasn't it? Yeah, last Sunday morning. Okay, we're in church this morning, so that doesn't mean you have to be quiet, okay? There's no steeple, there's no robes, there's no religious spirit. All right, you're free this morning. And last weekend for Jane and I was a very significant weekend, particularly the Saturday when James was speaking to the leadership or the wider leadership, and just some of the things that he was speaking about, really, and something that God did on the Saturday, just really brought a new freedom and liberty into Jane and my life and our leadership. And I know it impacted all the others that were there on the Saturday as well. And then he spoke on Sunday about, he called it I Am Joseph, didn't he? And at the end he was getting us all to shout out, you know, I am, and then what your name is. And why can we be so bold and confident in that? Because we're not bold and confident in ourselves. We're bold and confident in who he is in us, that he set us free from everything that could hold us back, pin us down, cause us trouble, hassle, difficulty. He's brought a freedom into our lives that enables us to actually shout and declare that we are who God has made us to be, and we're free to be the people that he's called us to be. And so I want to just kind of flow on from last week and take it a little bit further and maybe illustrate that in certain ways. On Friday, I went to the Festival of Speed, which is down in Goodwood, and went with Joe, my oldest son, and Jeremy, really good friend of ours as a family, and their family have been for years. And we went down, and you might not be into cars or fast things. That doesn't matter for the moment. Just try and get the illustration. And at the Festival of Speed, what happens is there's a celebration of speed. And everything from vehicles, you know, from the 1920s right through to the modern day kind of, you know, Formula One cars and everything in between. And one of the things that is kind of, or the thing that's the centre of this day is on the Goodwood Estate, there's a road that goes up from kind of fairly low down in the estate, and it kind of is a hill climb and works its way all the way to the top. I don't know what the distance is. But what all the different cars do is they basically go from the start line to the finish line, and the idea is to see how fast they can make it from the start to the finish, okay? And by the end of the weekend, whoever's done the fastest time in the different categories, obviously, I don't know what they get, but they win something. And but I was thinking about this, and in the context of us being free to be who we've called to be, and how do we live free, how do we stay free, and how do we live and be the people that Jesus has called us to be. Because on this in this particular thing at Festival of Speed, there's only one road from start to finish. There are no left or right turnings. There are no roundabouts. There are no traffic lights. There are no other cars on that piece of tarmac. It's just one car without any distractions. You don't need a map to get from the start to the finish. You don't need directions. You don't need a co-pilot. All you know is you just put your foot down from the beginning and you just follow whatever the road ahead is, and you at some point get to the start, get to the finish line at the end. And wouldn't it be nice if life was like that? If it was just a start and a finish, there were no distractions, no other obstacles, no other people. Wouldn't life be easier if there weren't other people around? No distractions, no problems, no issues, just you heading for something that way without any problems, any challenges, any downsides. I don't know. But life's not like that, is it? And, you know, what is life really like? Life is a journey. And something that James spoke about last week is life is about becoming. When you know Jesus, he gives you the fullness of his life. He gives you everything of himself. And after that moment, for the rest of your life, you're discovering everything that you have already been given. You're discovering everything of who you've become in God. So it's a life or a journey of becoming, and not that we haven't got something, but it's becoming who we are in Christ. What does that mean? It means living in the fullness of what we've already been given, what we've already received. But life isn't as easy as start to finish without any distractions, one piece of tarmac that starts and finishes and nobody else is on it, nobody else is in the way. And I was thinking about this morning, that life is like a journey where you have a start point and you have a finish point. The Bible talks about living with a vision. It talks about without a vision, or without a cause, or without a purpose, people perish. People get distracted. People's lives have no meaning. There's no why. There's no why am I here? And I want to take a few minutes to look at not just the why am I here, but what is the journey of our life like, and how do we stay free? How do we stay the people that God has called us to be? And how do we stay in God? And who is he on this journey? I don't know about you, but when we go on holiday somewhere and we drive, we have to work out the destination. We want to work out the best route. We check the map out or a sat-nav thing. And you kind of, what's the best journey? What's the best time to go? But you know, on the journey, there is going to be other traffic. There are going to be distractions. There might be an accident along the way and the traffic builds up. There might be some roadworks. You know you're going to have to go round roundabouts. You know at some point you're going to have somebody down a road that is so close behind you that they're saying, go faster, go faster. You're in the way. Now, you might be one of those people that drives behind people like that. Where you're that kind of person, come on, hurry up, get on with it. But there's pressures in life. People are pushing you to do something you don't want to do. People are pushing you to become somebody you don't want to be. Other times there are things in the way. There are obstacles, there are issues, there are challenges. There are those stop moments where you don't want a red light, you just want a green one. There are problems, there are hassles, there are things that go on, but that's just life. But how you live that journey will be determined by the cause that is going on the inside of you. The why am I here? Why am I alive? What am I doing? Where am I going? Because the why then will determine what you do, who you do that with, when are you going to do those things, and how you're going to get there. If you don't have a cause, if you don't have a purpose, if you don't have a direction, it's very easy to get distracted as soon as somebody comes from the left-hand turning and says something really amazing or shows you a different way to go that seems to be exciting because you don't necessarily have a cause. It's easy to then get distracted off to one direction in somebody else's cause or somebody else's agenda or somebody else's pressure or the way somebody else wants you to be to conform to the way that they think you should be. Maybe one roundabout with various options. One might be the pressure of life and society. You've got to be like this and live like that and think like the other. A right-hand turn might be somebody who's a friend who says, "I want, you know, why don't you come in my direction? And live the kind of life I want you to live," and people try and control or manipulate or affect you because maybe they have a strong character, maybe they have a strong opinion, maybe there's pressures at work and that's another turning, and at work they're saying you've got to be like this or like that or like the other, you've got to fit in, you've got to conform, you've got to be like this, otherwise you'll never step up the ladder and be successful. And there's so many options at different moments, and if you don't know your cause and your reason and your why you're here, you're going to get easily distracted to the left or to the right. And so last week, what James was doing, he was, in one sense, you know, with God, giving us permission to be who we've called to be who you've called to be who we've called to be as a church. Last weekend for us, it was a weekend of permission from God saying, hey guys, be who I've called you to be. Don't let anybody else or anything else put you off your course. You know, in what we do in leading the church and leading Kingdom Faith, there's all kinds of left turns, right turns, stoplights, accidents, things that could get in the way. There's all sorts of distractions. Everything from people's opinions about what's going on in the church. People that don't like this or like that, or people from outside looking in. saying certain things, or the pressure of leading something, because, you know, it's people's lives, and where are we going as a church, and what is God saying? And there can be the pressure of that, you know, in terms of, there can be financial pressures, you know, where are we at financially? How are we doing? What are we doing? How are we handling this? Is it right to spend that? Is it right to go in this route? If we do this, it's going to cost that. That could put pressure on the whole church and everything that we're doing. And there's certain things that might say, don't go there. Don't do this. You shouldn't do that. I don't like the other. I don't like that. I don't like the worship. I don't like the other. I don't like this. And there's so many things that can crowd in and cause a pressure. But if I let the what or the when or the who affect what the why is and the vision and the cause and the purpose of where we're going, then we'd go off to the left and off to the right, and we'd stop here and reverse here and go back there and get down a cul-de-sac here and all of that, because there's got to be a conviction. There's got to be a convincing in your own spirit, in your own heart, in your own life, in your own mind about who you are in God and what your cause is, what you're living for, what the purpose is, why you're here. Otherwise, it's easy to go this way or that way. When somebody else turns up with a better idea or a better vision or a stronger opinion or more conviction, it's easy then to go, well, maybe I should be doing this. Maybe I should be doing that. And actually, God wants you to live with the conviction of who He is on the inside of you, first of all. But then the cause that He's given you to live for, because the cause you live for determines the way you think, the decisions you make, the things you choose. The cause you're living for determines the lifestyle that you give yourself to. The cause you live for determines the people that you spend time with and do life with. So if I just use personal examples. So we got friends, obviously, in the church here, and we got friends that are outside of the church, and we choose who we're going to spend time with on a social level. Because we want to spend time with people that we know are ahead of us in God and that, and we're friends with people like that. And we want to spend, people like James last week, you know, with what God's doing with him and his church. They're in certain ways they're ahead, in other ways they're not. And there's great conversation, there's great friendship, and, you know, we talk on the phone, there's texting, there's tweeting, that we meet up and all of that kind of stuff. Because there's a friendship there, and iron sharpens iron. So, and we want to spend time as a couple socially with people that we're friends with, but also they're bigger than us as well, so that we can help grow. And other people want to spend time with us where we might be bigger than them in that sense, in terms of who we are as people, and help to bring them up. But I'm not going to just socially spend time with people that are going to drain me and cause me all kinds of hassle. Why? Because I'm living for a cause. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I don't want to spend time? No. But I need to understand what I'm doing, what I'm about, and how I need to focus my life and my time and my energy. And so I'm going to spend time with people that need certain things in a particular way. So I'm not just going to sit and socialize and have a pint with somebody that just has got loads of issues and they just want those met and everything. I'm going into that kind of situation with a different mindset. I'm connecting with that person because I want to see something happen with them when I'm with them. So I'm going into that kind of situation saying, right, I'm going in not just to hang out with them and have a chat and listen to all their issues. What I'm going to do is going to help them lift them out of that situation to live in a completely different way. So the why I'm going to spend time with that person is different than the why I might spend time with somebody else. But because I know the cause that I'm living for, then I know who I want to spend time with, when I need to spend time with them, and what the purpose is for that. Why? Because we're living for a cause. We're living to see lives transformed. We're living to see the nation changed. We're living to see the turning of the tide of a godless society. And one of the things that God's been doing in us is just over this last week, is freeing us from stuff we don't need to be involved with and things we don't need to be doing. Yes. Saying, Clive, you've got to be more focused, more intentional in what you're doing. Let other people deal with this and do that and do the other, you know, because we've all got to move forward in what God's doing together. And if we're not moving forward in the right way, then none of us will move forward in the right way. But if all of us are doing what we should be, when and where we should be doing that, then everybody's going to move forward in a really healthy way, in a way we're all going to flourish and thrive and grow and go forward. Is that right? Yeah. And so last week, the permission was to be free, to be who God has called you to be. Now, There's a phrase that's used, I don't know how many times in the Bible, it's a few times, but this phrase, I am, where God speaks about himself. And God says certain things about himself. And when it says I am in the Bible, actually translated properly, it should say I, that's I'm God, I am. So he's basically saying this is non-negotiable. This is not changeable. Okay, I, God, he says, I, God, I am. So he's making a statement, particularly at the beginning of the Bible in Exodus a number of times, when he meets Moses at the burning bush and he says, I am. And he's basically saying to Abraham, he said, I am God. There is no other like me. There will never ever be anybody else like me. When it says I am, it means I always have been and I always will be. So it's something that doesn't have a moment. When it says I am, it just means I am. Forever past and forever future. I am. And so when God rocks up and he says I am, then that puts something in place in our lives that becomes unshakable, immovable and non-negotiable. And we just want to look at a few scriptures this morning because I believe God wants to do some things during the word and we're going to respond, in a number of ways as the word's kind of coming out this morning. Is that okay? So rather than having a thing just at the end, a response at the end, we're going to just look at a few things as we go through. And then we're going to just pray at different moments, okay? So if you want to turn in your Bible, first of all, to... let's have a look. Matthew chapter 11. You doing okay this morning?
Yes.
Great. Matthew chapter 11, let's have a look. Verse 28. You know, on this journey of life where you've got to start and you've got to finish, there are lots of challenges along the way. How many of you, sometimes in the journey of life, there can be challenges, there can be weariness, there can be heaviness, there can be things that just resist living life to the full. And let's have a look at what is Jesus saying here. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus is saying here, come to me, all you who are weary or burdened, all you who are heavy laden, all you that are having oppression, you feel under the cosh, things are tough, there's challenges. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know, you have oxen, you have two that go together and the yoke is put across the two and they both pull the plow or whatever they're pulling together. And so what Jesus is saying, he's saying, I'm one side of this yoke and you're the other side and I'm going to walk with you. But the yoke that I've got and the burden that I've got is light, it's easy. If you try and do it in your own strength, then you're going to come under the cost. You're going to come under pressure. You're going to find things tough. Things are going to be difficult. You're going to find resistance at times in your life. And you're going to feel like you're trying to push water uphill when it's just running the other way. But when you allow my yoke to be upon you and my burden to be upon you, then there's an ease. There's a lightness in that because you're yoked with me. You're in me and you're walking with me. And therefore, there's an power, there's an ability, there's an enabling from me to actually face the difficulties, to face the weariness, to face the burdens, to face the challenges, because you're yoked with me. And when you're yoked with me, I'm going to enable you to push through and break through whatever is opposing or challenging you along the journey where people say, come to the left, come to the right. There's a red light here. There's an accident there. There's a problem there. When you face those things with me, then I'm going to enable you to walk through those. And so he says here, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I think it's amazing, sometimes the perception of God is that he deals with us severely. and deals with us in a you know, kind of way. The world's perception of God is that he's angry, he's annoyed, he's miles off and everything. But yet the word there, Jesus says, he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. See, what does humility do? Humility comes down to the same level. Humility bows down and comes down. And humility says, I want to pick you up. And so he comes down in gentleness, but God's gentleness isn't kind of just emotional and all fluffy. You know, God's gentleness is strong. Because God is love and he is gentle, but yet he is strong. So in his gentleness, there's a strength. And so when we come weary and burdened, when things are tough, things are challenging, we feel somebody's coming against us or there's an issue in life or stuff is just not going well, what does God do? That's the time not to back off from God, but it's the time to draw near to God. And as you draw near to him, he says, I'm humble and gentle. What do? I come right down to where you are. I come right down into the reality of the situation. I come right into the heart of what is going on in your life. And I identify with you and I come right into that moment because I'm humble. I'm not just lofty up here and you've got to try and get to me. No, I'm going to come down to where you are. And in my humility, I'm going to come and I'm going to take hold of you. And in the gentleness of who I am, take hold of you. And then in my power and strength, begin to lift you out of that as you yoke with me. And then I'm going to enable you to go forward and push through whatever's going on. You see, that's the nature and the heart of God in our lives. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Most of the torment in life goes on up here. If it's going on up here, you will find it going on in here. Because your soul is your mind, your emotions and your will. And if you've got a battle going on in your mind and stuff is just, you don't, you know, then stuff goes on the inside of you. I've had certain times over the last few years where there's various, I'm not going into any details, but there's challenges, there's stuff goes on and with people and there's a challenge in your mind that goes on that you feel undermined in what you're doing. You feel like the enemy jumps on that as well, and he loves to magnify all of that and make it so much more than it actually is. And I've had times where physically I've felt like, I don't know how you call it, inside it, I was stressed, if you like, and everything's bombarding, you know, with voices like, you know, nobody wants to be here anymore. You're not going in the right direction. There's this pressure, that challenge. And what you have on the inside of you is this stress that goes on. And the only way you can deal with that, you can't deal with it just by shouting out something or just praying. You deal with it by basically doing what we've just described. God, this burden, this yoke is too heavy for me. And what I'm obviously doing is trying to handle something in my own effort. So what I want to do on this journey, because there's a potential distraction to the left or the right, or somebody's just putting something massive in front that says you can't go any further. And so in that moment or those moments, it's like, God, I just want to get before you and I want to allow you to come alongside me because I'm trying to pull this on my own. So I want to come alongside you in my life and what I'm doing and allow myself to be yoked with you in a fresh way. And in your gentleness and your humility to come down and just settle the argument in here, which then settles the stuff that goes on in here and allow the peace of God. What does it say? This last one, it says, rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so God replaces that heaviness or that challenge or that issue in your soul with his peace that goes beyond your understanding, the Bible says, and enables you to have rest in your soul. And I found if you just, personally, if I've just sat before God and said, okay, God, I'll just leave everything there for a moment on this journey. And I just want to draw on you. Thank you that you are my refuge. You are my strong tower. You are my peace. You are my life. You are my victory. You're the one who enables me to overcome. And sometimes that rest doesn't come by, yeah, hallelujah, and you're shouting your head off. It comes just by saying, God, I thank you right now that you're my peace. And allow him to do something up here and to do something in here. Let's just have a look at... let's just stand for a moment, shall we? Now, I don't know if there's turmoil going in some of your lives at this moment, in your mind. There's certain pressures, certain things that come against you that are trying to stop you from being who you're called to be. Because for me, in those moments, what was coming against me in my head was, you're never going to be who God's called you to be. But yet, I am already who God's called me to be. Amen. You're just trying to stop me walking in who I've been called, you know, who I am. So I'm already who I've been called to be. I'm just walking in it. So the enemy wants to stop you walking in who you are in God. He wants to stop you walking in freedom. He wants to put such a heavy thing on you that you just think, oh, give up, rubbish, that's no good, I'm off. And we go left or we go right or we check out from life or from God or whatever. And so just want us to take a few moments just to pray. And if there's any weariness, yokes of heaviness, burdens that you just feel like, man, I've had enough of this. I can't hack this any longer. Whatever that pressure may be, whatever the circumstance is, wherever that's come from, whether it's a family-related thing, a marriage-related thing, whether it's a work situation, something that's going on, could be a financial pressure, could be all kinds, could be a sickness issue, something like that. I just want you to stand in the presence of God for a minute. And just invite Jesus. Jesus, I want you to... I want to exchange this heavy burden and yoke that I've just lived with. It's just become normal. I've just let it just be part of my life. I want to make that exchange, and I want that yoke that is easy and that burden that is light. I want to be yoked with you in a fresh way. If you've had turmoil in your head and you just give it to him right now. Father, I just give you all the stuff that's been going on in my head, the battle that's been going on, the turmoil. Whatever physical reactions that might have brought in your body, in your nervous system or in other ways, it's affected your eating, it's affected certain things. Just give that to him right now. God, I just give you the turmoil. I thank you in your humility and gentleness, you come now. You just meet me right at this moment. And I thank you that you relieve me right now of that pressure. You relieve me of the turmoil. You relieve me of the stress that's been going on in my body. Whatever the situation is, could be a work thing, a family thing, marriage thing, could be anything, could be something to do with your kids, could be, I don't know what it might be, but you just give that to the Lord right now. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, I thank you for the rest in people's souls right now. Father, where there's been turmoil, I thank you that you replace that heavy yoke with that ease of being yoked with you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Some of you just felt a heaviness in your life. Some of it, one or two of you just feel like, I never feel good enough with God. And that has dogged you. And the enemy's jumped on that in your life. I don't feel worthy. I'm just not good enough. I don't meet his standards. I'm not. And God just wants to lift that off you this morning right now. Say, in your own strength, you'll never be good enough. Nobody in this room, nobody on the planet is good enough in our own efforts. That's why he came and he did what he did on the cross to remove everything that could separate us from him. And he said, I've done the work. I've made you acceptable. I've made you worthy because of who I am in your life. So you can lift your head and look confidently up to the Lord. You can look confidently at him saying, Jesus, thank you that I don't have to be worthy because you have done it and you have made me worthy. So I thank you that you lift off all this sense of unworthiness, all this sense of shame this morning, all this sense of I'll never be good enough. And so I just cut off the lies of all of that right now this morning, that nobody in this place will come under the lies of the enemy that says you're not good enough and you'll never be good enough, because your past has been dealt with. You're free from your past. It's gone, it's dead, it's buried, it's been finished with. And because of what Jesus has done for you, he has made you worthy, that you can stand, you can live boldly and confidently before him and with him, because it's who he is in your life. It's who he is in you. He has made you acceptable. He has made you. He's come down in his humility and gentleness. And he said, I'll lift you up to where I am. You're seated with me. That's where your place is with me. You're a brother of mine. You're a child of mine. You're a son of mine. You're an heir with me. So, Father, I thank you for your freedom from turmoil and emotional stuff and stuff that's been going on in people's souls. I thank you for your freedom right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just thank the Lord if God's been doing something in you in the last few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Okay, just grab a seat. There's some great verses. We haven't got time to go through them. In Psalm 103, verse 5, it says, he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. In Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. I love that. Just look at Matthew chapter 8 for a minute. God's going to heal some people in the next few minutes and set people free from some stuff, which is going to be awesome. I love this this story here in the Bible. When Jesus was coming down from the mountain, large crowds were following him, and a man with leprosy, an incurable disease, came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, all through the Bible, God has declared things. I am the Lord who heals you. I am your healer. We've just read there that he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. This guy was bowing down to the one who was and is to come. He was bowing down saying, if you are willing, and he'd already been declaring forever, I am willing because I am the one who heals. And so this guy had come to the healer. And I love this story where the guy says, if you are willing, and Jesus says, I am willing. He says, I am willing. Why did he say, I am willing? Because I am says, it's a done deal. It's non-negotiable. I am. I am God. I am the healer. I'm the one who can set you free. So if I am that, then I am willing. So willing must follow the I am. It's a done deal. When you come before God, he doesn't say, oh, not yet, or maybe I won't bother. When you come before God, it's an I am. It's a done deal. It's God does it, sets you free, does whatever he wants to do or needs to do in your life so that you live more fully in who you are in him. And he says, I am willing. Immediately, or then he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said, see that you don't tell anyone. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that you're supposed to offer. Then just quickly look in chapter 9 for a minute of Matthew, verse 28. There's a story here where he was a blind and a mute man. Jesus went on from there. Two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him. I've always wondered about that one. You know, two blind guys come to Jesus and he walks away and he goes into a house. You're blind. You know, where's he gone? You know, what's happening? You know, that's not the most compassionate thing to do at that moment. If somebody blind came up to you and said, would you pray for me? You wouldn't exactly walk off and go to another room because how do they know where you've gone? I don't know. Do you ever think about this stuff when you're reading the Bible? Or is it just me? And so they say, when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him. So they must have, where is he? Take us to him. Then he says to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. Look what it says. Do you believe that I am able? So he's saying, do you believe that I am? Because if you believe that I am, then you're going to receive what you're going to need to receive. Do you believe that I am? It doesn't matter whether it was the healer or Abel or the deliverer, whatever comes after. They basically were saying, we believe that you are I am. And because you're I am, we're going to get healed. Stuff's going to happen. We're going to get our sight back. So he says, do you believe that I am is able? So their faith wasn't in the ability. Their faith was in the I am. And so when they said, yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and according to your faith, will it be done to you. And their sight was restored, and Jesus warned them again, see that no one tells you, knows about it. How did, if you've been blind forever, you want to tell everybody, didn't you? Why did he say that? Just give glory to God. Give glory to the, Jesus was saying, I don't want the glory for this. So don't go shouting around about me, because I want all the glory to go to the Father. Wow, that's awesome, isn't it? So even when you pray for people and you see people healed and things happen, you know, make sure all the glory goes that way. It's great giving testimony, but we don't want to give testimony that makes it us look good. We only give testimony to show how good God is and what he can do in people's lives. That's what Jesus was saying here. Look, don't go shouting about me and everything I've done. It's the glory goes to the Father. But what I love in here is Jesus says, I am willing. I am able. Why? Because I am the I am. So when we come to the I am, something must happen, because he is the I am. Are you ready? Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Because this morning, some of you are coming to the I am to receive your healing and to receive from him and what he's going to do in your bodies right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are the healer. You are the great I am. And part of being I am, you are the Lord who heals. You are the Lord, our healer. You're the one who heals the brokenhearted. You bind up our wounds. I thank you that you've been declaring that before any of us were even around, that you're the healer. You're the great I am. And so, Father, we come to you this morning as the I am. We thank you that you formed us in our mother's wombs. You created us. You know how we're supposed to function. You know how our bodies are supposed to operate. Thank you that it's just so easy for you to correct things, realign things, adjust things, even remove things or put things back that have been removed, so that our lives are fully healed and restored, so that we live healthy. So, Father, I thank you for some just divine moments right now in people's bodies. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here, you've had a liver infection for a little while, and that's caused you quite a lot of pain and hassle. And God doesn't want that to be a left turn in your life anymore. He doesn't want it to be a hindrance and a bump in the road any longer. And so he's just touching that liver infection right now, just healing your liver and cleaning that up and sorting it out, so there's no bump in the road and issue that causes you to kind of have to go slower than you need to in life, because he wants to accelerate things in you. Father, I thank you for your healing grace. If that's you, put your hand up right now. Put your hands up if that's you with the liver thing, wherever you are. Put your hands in the air so I can just see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where's the person with the liver? We've all got livers, but that liver condition, just at the back there. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in her body right now. We just speak to her whole being to be healed, to be fully restored right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. A couple of people, you've got cartilage issues in your knees, and your knees click, and somebody, one of you's had an operation on or one or both of your knees, and you've had hassle with that ever since. It's never fully healed after that operation. They said, there's not a lot we can do for you. But Jesus says, I am. I created your knees. I formed them. I know how they're supposed to work. And so, Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now. If that's you with cartilage troubles in some way, just put your hands in the air right now. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in these cartilages right now. Thank you, Jesus. That old age is not going to determine how fit and healthy that body is. And so I speak to that body to be fit and healthy right now. Both those in the name of Jesus. I speak to those cartilages to be fully healed and restored right now. That your knees move and function properly. That you can run. That you can move about. You can twist and turn without any need to be afraid of damaging yourself. Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just maybe move your knees about, or as in, you know, your leg, bend it, check it. There's no click there any longer, no pain, no issues. Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had something wrong with your kidney, or one of your kidneys was damaged a number of years ago, and God's just healing you right now. You can feel a real heat, a very strong heat around the base of your back and everything, and God's just healing you, your kidney. And sorting that one out. I don't know if it was damaged because of a lifestyle kind of thing that you had before you got saved. But God's just restoring that kidney and bringing it fully back to life. He's breathing on it right now. It's like there's a revitalization of that kidney. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Somebody else in your nervous system, it's not because of stress necessarily, but there's just something that's not totally right in your nervous system. And that's that's caused various things to happen in terms of anxiety and various other things. Father, I thank you that you touch that nervous system right now. That whatever pressures have caused that, we just lift them off, we cut them off right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your healing grace in that nervous system. We just speak peace right now to your mind, peace into your body and peace into your nervous system. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. If you're reaching out to the I Am this morning in some way to be healed, just reach your hands up now, both hands. Just reach them up towards him as if you're taking hold of Jesus, the I Am, the healer, the one who says, I am willing. He says, I am able. He said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? Just receive your healing this morning because your faith is in the I Am of who he is. He's the creator. He's the I Am. He's the one who designed you. He's the I Am. He knows how you should function and how you should be. Father, I thank you for people's feet being healed right now. A muscle condition in the left-hand calf is being healed right now. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else in both eyes where you've had pain and tension behind your eyes. God is just dealing with that pressure, whatever, I don't know what it's called, but God's healing you of pressure behind the eyes right now, where that's called headache, that's caused migraines even. And God is dealing with the root. He's not just saying to stop the migraines, he's stopping the root of that has caused the migraine. So you're no longer going to have any headaches, and your eyesight's actually going to be slightly better as a result, because the pressure and the tension has caused there to be a slight image issue when you look at things, and even the opticians have said it's not really a glasses issue that you need. There's something else wrong with your eyes, and you know what the name is, and God knows what the name is, but he's saying you're not that anymore. You're healed in the name of Jesus. So Father, I thank you for your healing grace right now in those eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Just reach out wherever you are and take what belongs to you. You know, your healing is a right as a child of God for you, because Jesus has won your healing 2,000 years ago on the cross. So take what is yours this morning. Take what is yours, because that's who you are in him. You're free to be whole and healed and healthy in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody else, you've had a sinus issue, and God is just unblocking all your sinuses, and that's caused earaches and pressure below the ears, and that's also caused pressure here in your glands and other things in your face and in your neck. And God's just healing you, relieving you of all of that stuff right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you're so good. You're so good. If you know God's touching you in some way, just raise one of your hands right now. If you know God is touching your body, a number of people over there, somebody down the front, others in the middle. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in people's bodies right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Just shout out one or two things that are going on. Chad, what's up?
It's going out. It's great. Had a sinus infection.
Yeah.
It's changing.
You can feel the difference in your head, can you?
Yeah, it's suddenly opening up.
Right. Brilliant. That'll affect everything else here as well. Yeah, somebody else had your hand up down here. Yeah.
Yeah, I had an operation a number of years ago on both my cartilages, but I feel the ease in my knees now.
Wow. Feel the ease in your knees. There's a good rap there. Cool. So you feel they're different than they were, yeah?
Definitely. It was hurting me before we started.
Maybe you can, with your daughter, do a bit of that old, the jigging or whatever it is. Yeah, cool. Anybody, other people, you had your hands in the air? Yeah. Right. So you're the one with the eyes and what they said and all of that stuff, yeah? Well, God speaks because he's doing it. So, Father, we thank you for your healing. We thank you, Jesus, right now for total restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just grab a seat. We'll maybe shout a few more things out in a few minutes. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 15 for a moment. Last one, because we sort of ran out of time. We'll just do one more. 1 Corinthians 15. See, you know, when you're living the journey of life and there's left turns, right turns, roundabouts, obstacles, issues, red lights and all of that kind of stuff, it's what we do in those moments that determines how we deal with things. Yeah. You see, if we're living with a why, if we're living with a cause, then that helps you in the choices that you make. Because the why is always so much greater than the moment. the challenges of the moment, or the pressures of the moment, or the temptations of the moment. You see, often the devil, the enemy, he works and he tries to seduce, to entice us. He wants to just get a little bit of a hook in, or a little bit of a taste of something that at first is okay. It seems to taste all right, or isn't much of a thing. But then if he can get a little hook in, he then starts to slowly reel in, you know, something, and begins to pull in. And what is a little bit of seduction then becomes a desire, and a desire then becomes an action, and action then becomes a habit or a lifestyle, and you begin to feed that, and something begins to grow and get strong in your life where it's difficult to then let go and give up, and you find you're actually going off this way without even realizing it at first. That's the way the enemy works and loves to begin to entice us away. But what does the word talk about in terms of, we could go to this one in John chapter 6, talking about Jesus. There's a whole chapter on here, about him being the bread of life. And if we eat of him, we never hunger. And it's what we do in those moments of temptation or enticement or seduction. What do we feed on at that moment that determines what is going to become strong? If you give in to something, you're effectively feeding something that then is going to begin to get a hold, which then begins to get stronger. But if you're living for a cause, and this is why I'm here, this is why I'm alive, and this is what you're going for, then those temptations don't have the same effect, because you put up, if you quite, let's call them riverbanks, or you've put up some things in your life, what do you call it, the shield of faith or something. You put things up in your life saying, I'm living for this. This is why I'm alive. This is what I'm living for. This is the cause I'm going for. This is the purpose of why I'm here. This is the vision that I'm going for. This is what I'm part of. Therefore, I don't have time to be seduced to the left or to the right. I don't have time to give myself here, because the why of what I'm doing is so much more important than the meeting what I might want at this moment. So let's have a look and see what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. This is in the context of Paul the Apostle talking about the resurrection body and what it's going to be like. And we could read loads of this. But we'll just have a quick look from verse 50 onwards. He said, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So that means the natural cannot inherit the supernatural. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash and in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's going to look amazing, isn't it? For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, so for eternity, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. So the natural with what is supernatural. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, what is eternal, and the mortal with immortality, what's never going to die, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Let nobody else move you. Let no pressure, no matter the situation, no matter however anybody might come against you or at you for whatever reason, don't be moved by somebody else's thing. Amen. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You can only give yourself fully if you know what you're living for. Amen. You can only give yourself fully if you know what your cause is, your purpose is, and why you're here. Yep. Then it says, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So I love these verses where Paul's talking about this thing for eternity, this imperishable thing, this eternal life that we have with God. But then he says it's not just for the future. You've been given this eternal life now. You've been given this imperishable life now. Because eternity doesn't just start the day you die. Eternity has already begun, because God is outside time. He was and is forever. But when he comes into your life, eternity comes into your life at that moment in terms of living with God forever, but it happens while you're alive. And he says the victory doesn't just come after you die. The victory comes now today in your life, so that you have my life in you to enable you to live in victory and overcome everything that would try and take you to the left or to the right or this way or that way. And so God has given us his victorious life to enable us to be who he's called us to be in him. So let's all stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. How many of you, you know you have the victorious life of Jesus in you, right? So we're going to firstly thank God for the victory, but maybe some of us need to come into that victorious life. Maybe some people here this morning, you don't know Jesus. You've never met him. You don't know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. You've never encountered the one who is imperishable, as the Bible. He cannot perish because he is eternal. And some of you today, maybe you need to come into that relationship with Jesus for the first time ever. Maybe some of you today, you need to come back into that relationship with God that you once had. And you know, well, I've kind of walked off in a different direction. And some of you might have lived with guilt and shame and racked with, you know, the enemy's jumped on that. And, you know, God won't take you back. He won't forgive you. You knew him once and you blew it. Now he's not going to. And that's a lie. And God will take you back at the drop of a hat. Why? Because he is humble and gentle. He stoops down to where we are and picks us up and lifts us up. And restores us into relationship, or back into relationship with him. That's, he loves to do it. He loves to do that. So firstly, as we stand here this morning, just thank God that he is, if he's done this for you, and you'll know if he has or not, just thank him for the eternal life that he has placed in you. Thank him for that imperishable life that you have on the inside of you. Thank you on the journey of life. You have his eternal life. You have his victory on the inside of you. You have his life in you to face the issues and the challenges of life. Maybe some of you this morning, you don't have that victory and that life. And you're like, well, I've never met Jesus. I don't know who he is. And this morning you can step into the beginning of a great life with God. A life that he's created you to have, a relationship with him. To get to know the I am. The only true and living God. There is no other God except him. There are other gods that man's made and thought up. But there's actually only one God, and that's the God that's in the Bible, and he calls himself I am. I always have been, and I always will be. Blows our minds. Our minds can't really conceive what that really means, because we're finite, you know, yet God is infinite. And our finite minds can't really grasp the magnitude and how incredible he is. But yet, God speaks and into our lives. And there's enough that God does in us that sparks, this guy is real. God is real. I don't understand it all. I don't get it all. But I know he's real. And something on the inside of you says, I want to know him. There's this God, if he's real, then I want to know him. We just want to take a few moments this morning just to respond to him. And for some of you who don't know him, or you want to get back in right relationship with him, just give you a few moments to respond to him today. Thank you, John. I'm just going to pray for you wherever you are. And this might resound in your heart, resound on the inside of your life. And only you can respond to God. In the Bible, when people responded, he said they cried out to God. They said, what must I do to be saved? What have I got to do to know Jesus? So this is not us just praying a prayer and it's a quick fix to life. Because we've just said that life's tough. There's a journey. There's stuff that goes on. But in God, there's a way of living life where you can overcome the obstacles. You can push through the challenges. You don't have to live under somebody else's pressures or convictions or control or manipulation or whatever it might be. You don't have to live somebody else's life. God has called you to live the life that he's given you. But he wants you to live that life with him, because that's really the ultimate life you can have, a life with him. So Father, I just pray right now for every person in this place that doesn't know you. Father, I thank you that you're moving their lives and their hearts right now. Father, you know what's resonating on the inside of them, what's going off on the inside. And thank you that you make yourself real to them right now. Just this kind of witness on the inside of them, this awareness, God's real, he's real. And Father, I thank you that you just speak right into their lives now and reveal something of who you are, Jesus, as the I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just in a couple of moments, if something's resonating you this morning, you're like, I want to make a first step to get to know I am. I want to get to know God. I want to get to know Jesus, who he is. Just if you can just raise your hand wherever you are for a minute so I can see anybody this morning that is just saying, I want to get to know the Creator. I want to get to know the I am. I want to make a first step to knowing Jesus. Or if you're coming back to the Lord and saying, I want to get my life back in line with God. If there's anybody here this morning, just raise your hand so I can see it, and we just want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are guys on the Connect team, guys in the church who will be just here afterwards. If you want to chat to somebody after the meeting and say, actually, can you tell me a bit more about Jesus? I want to find out a bit more about who he is. What's it really like to be a Christian? You might have come with somebody today, a friend, family member who already knows Jesus. They might be part of this church. And you maybe ask them, well, why are you a Christian? What is this all about? Tell me something more about who Jesus is today. And so let's just pray for me. If we could have the band up, that'd be great. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you speak into every one of our lives today. Father, I thank you for those that don't know you, that as we've just asked you, that you reveal who you are today. Father, I thank you for your hand at work, bringing healing into lives, bringing freedom into lives. Father, I thank you because you've set us free. We are free indeed. Thank you that because you have set us free, we can see other people come into that same life and freedom. Thank you that this week we can be a blessing to our family. We can be a blessing in the workplace. We can be a blessing in the school, in college, wherever we're going to be this week. Father, I thank you. We can take the life and the freedom. Thank you that we're free to be who you've called us to be. That we don't have to live under somebody else's thing. We don't have to conform to somebody else's image of who they think we should be. But you've created us in your image and you've created us to be like you. So thank you, Father. This week is a week of freedom and liberty to live and be the people you've called us to be and the way you've called us to live. Thank you, Jesus, that you in us can overtake and affect other people's lives this week and see other people's lives impacted by who you are. We praise your awesome name. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just take 30 seconds, turn to somebody else and tell them something that's happened in you this morning. Go.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.